Good morning. Mr. Billings, would you like to come up to the podium, please? Good morning. And please state your name.
Christopher Lee Billings.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, may I just ask him again, just for the record, do you expect to have any supporters come in later today, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Right. And you don't have a Department of Corrections number because you weren't ever incarcerated. So this is a pardon hearing for Mr. Christopher Billings. And this involves an incident in 1991, August 21st, 1991.
I believe it's
2001. Oh, I see. Yes, I've made a straight pencil mark that made it look like a 91. Thank you for that correction. Mr. Billings, can you just describe for us what happened that day?
Excuse me. Yeah, I was coming home on Grand Avenue, around 107th Avenue. I don't know if it's still that way. I haven't been in that area for so long, but the three lanes moved to two lanes, and as I moved through the stoplight, the third lane ended, and the light was changing at the time anyway. After passing through the light, a red truck to my right came up beside me, and instead of merging in front of me, just kind of pushed me over to the other lane, and so I just moved over. But the guy wouldn't let up. He just kept looking at me and smiling and gesturing. And I gestured back, you know, what's the problem? At the time, I was armed. I had a weapon on my side. It was clipped. And I made the absolutely stupid idea of pulling it off and brandishing it to the individual just as a deterring gesture, which was the worst idea. And then I put it in the console after that. And unfortunately for me, there was an off-duty officer who knew what to say and how to say it, and he said I pointed it, and he was in fear for his life, and I don't know what all. I didn't realize he said all these things until my attorney read the report. So after that, there were about seven or eight police cars pulling me over and arresting me.
So how, I mean, can you just show us what you did? I mean, do the motion of what you did? Well, so, and where was he? He was over to your right.
He was to my right, okay. in a taller vehicle.
Okay.
So pretty
you
much
had it on your right.
And it was a very small arm. I just picked it up, went like this, and
put it in here.
That's it.
Okay. All right, because the statement, I mean, that sounds like what is in the pre-sentence investigation. There was no, it didn't sound like there was any pointing the muzzle of the weapon at
you. That's what he said.
Right, but you're saying you just showed it like this and the muzzle was pointing up or somewhere.
Forward.
Forward, yeah.
It was never out of the holster, but I still understand that was very bad.
Right, and it's clear in here that it was, it says you picked up the gun that was in the holster and showed it. So, okay, all right. So it was kind of a road rage incident. And for that, it looks like through a plea agreement, you received 5 years of probation?
I think that was the original thing.
And then you terminated that early?
Yeah,
because.
I got my hours done fairly quickly, working for a charter school. I built computers for the kids at the charter school, cleaned up the area and whatnot. I went to anger management classes, and then my my probation was, they recommended that they just terminate that.
Early. Did you learn anything in anger management class that any useful? I mean, sometimes there are things to learn.
It was enlightening. You know, a lot of things that people do, they just don't realize what it could be seen as. I mean, there was a gentleman there, had two Purple Hearts, was in a wheelchair, find a wheelchair, especially modified van. He was there too, because, and this is his story, He sprayed pepper spray at a car that was antagonizing him, and unfortunately, there was a juvenile in the backseat that got sprayed.
Wow.
So, you know, you learn a lot of things about behavior that you just, as you mature, you would think that things change, and you don't do these things. I don't know, for him, he felt it necessary, and possibly it wasn't, so.
Okay. And I read somewhere in the materials we have that you subsequently paid someone to do a polygraph that verified that you did not point the gun, but that was not admissible. And,
no, it wasn't, okay. Unfortunately. I thought I was home.
You figured that would be it.
When my attorney read to me the officer's report, I was taken. I couldn't believe it. I said, I'll take a polygraph. I'll do anything. I didn't point the gun, you know. And so I did, and yeah, I passed it, and I thought at that point, you know, this was, I'll just be in trouble for brandishing the weapon and not actually pointing it or whatever, but that wasn't the case.
It didn't happen, okay. And we do have, in the packet that we have four support letters that seem to be from 2002, so that I'm not sure, maybe that was during your probation, I don't know. And then we have three support letters from 2016, that are dated 2016.
Well, you know, I had those letters may have been written for dual purpose. I did have this conviction set aside.
Right.
And I'm just recycling the letters.
Right. And here's one from, for example, Gerald Humbert.
Oh, yeah.
From January of 2002. So, and Maureen Bronson. So there were a number, but you have, you know, some support letters in here. So, Mr. Billings, why in particular are you seeking a pardon?
Well, you know, at the time I was a truck driver, and I was trying to get a business off the ground just wrenching, you know, working on cars, and now it's a completely different thing. I've got two little girls and a son and a stepson. My older son, he's in college, and I'm in college, and just graduated summa cum laude with public administration degree. You know, I think just having it set aside isn't going to be enough with some people. You know, I'm hoping this, if granted, that this will compound the set aside and maybe help me out a little further. Because just having it there, even though it's set aside, I don't feel that it's going to move people enough. You know, because that F word, that felony, really, really sets people back, unfortunately, especially in the profession that I'd be seeking.
It can. The thing in Arizona is it's never really removed from your record.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
it's
what I found.
It's still there. So.
I didn't realize. Well, I knew it would still be there, but I thought maybe it would say up there in bold print that it's been set aside, and that didn't change. Nothing changed. The disposition didn't change at all.
Right.
It still says guilty. But down in the fine print, it says set aside. So.
Right. So you can point that out.
So maybe two things will be better than one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me see if my fellow board members have any questions for you.
Yes.
Mr. Quinones.
First of all, thank you for appearing before the board today. I went through the incident quickly, and I recognized that you know, there was maybe road rage is a not the most accurate expression for some of these incidents, but did anything happen with the other vehicle that you were involved? There were two.
The red truck?
Yes.
That was driven by the off-duty officer?
Yes.
Surprisingly? No? No, I'm... Maybe I don't understand the question.
What I'm saying is you were found at fault. The other individual that you were saying was driving and getting into gestures with you, there nothing came of.
Well, no, it was his word against mine.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he had a radio in his personal vehicle and said that I had done something with a firearm that I shouldn't have been doing. Next thing I know, I'm being pulled over. So, of course, I said that, no, I didn't do these things. And he said, yes, he did do these things, and I was in fear for my life. So as a single father, I mean, when it did go to court as a single father, they said, well, we'll take jail time off the table if you plead guilty. So otherwise, I'd have to take my chances with my word against his, and chancing 6 months in jail as a single father just wasn't an option.
Understood. I was just trying to get my... you get a full understanding of that.
Sure, I don't think anything negative happened to him. I mean, I looked him up. When I did do my my set-aside, I used an attorney, and she encouraged me to look him up just to see if he had any marks against him. And there was some weird thing going on, but I couldn't really, some internet thing where somebody in the department accused him and some other people of just doing a bunch of wrong stuff on some local social media. I couldn't substantiate it, so there was really nothing I can do about that. Other than that, he's the PR person now for Surprise Police Department, so you know he's moved up, and so nothing's really come of him. I mean, not that I expect anything.
Thank you. I wasn't asking to be defensive of the other individual or offensive. I was just trying to get the whole picture there. Because the fact remains, I mean, two people driving, getting into gestures with each other can really escalate. And sometimes I have concern about such things as I drive through traffic sometimes because I see some really, really aggressive behavior out there. And I sometimes wonder how close this is to getting an altercation. And I think this individual has how close they are to be getting into an altercation, A, and B, they don't know the capability of the other individual. So I recognize in this case it was a law enforcement officer, and I'll just take it at face value.
Sure.
But there is some outstandingly bad behavior in traffic, and it is a concern sort of tension and escalation that can build up between drivers, you know, inside vehicles where the vehicle itself is a weapon, you know, if you choose to use it that way. So, but anyways, I just wanted to get my understanding of your situation.
Okay.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Any other questions from board members?
Yeah.
Yes. Dr.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mr. Billings. As you know, because I see you've done a great deal of research, as you know that a pardon is one of the highest honor that the governor can bestow upon an individual when in the criminal justice system. And as one board member, I'm always looking for something special, something that really makes you stand out, that if this board saw fit to send a letter to the governor, that would be convincing. So what in your career since this incident that you would suggest to this board? We have your written information, we have your application, but what would you suggest to this board that might be some things that you've done that would make you stand out from the rest, sir, in terms of having to say something to the governor?
Okay, well, you know, I don't have a lot of opportunity to do good for my community, but when I did own a business for 7 years, Hardtops in Northern Arizona. I repaired countertops and bathtubs and whatnot, and there's a lot of underprivileged or homes for underprivileged people, and at those times that allowed me to do pro bono work. You know, they had a tub that had a hole in it, and they couldn't you know, they couldn't bathe in it because it would cause mold and whatnot. I was able to go in there and fix that and say no, we're good, don't worry about it. That made me feel good, and that helped me contribute to society that way. And I was fortunate enough in my own business to be able to do that. And then moving forward, I feel that still having this felony on my record is going to stand in my way of being a contributing member of society. And hopefully compounding the pardon with the set aside, that might help me move forward in continuing to do that, being a contributing member of society in a positive way, and not for not for profit or in some public capacity.
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just asking questions now.
Okay.
And maybe it's in your documents that you presented to the board, but have you applied and been granted absolute discharge, sir?
Yes.
You do. That means that you already have your civil rights, all your rights have already been bestowed upon you.
Yes, sir.
Well, you can vote.
I can vote.
In Arizona, you can carry a weapon legally.
Sure.
Okay. And I guess my next question would be, and this is not a requirement, but I always liked, although the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, the chair of your hearing, stated that you do have these letters, some dating back to '02 and some dating more recent, like '16, I believe. This is not a requirement, but why didn't you invite any of your supporters to be present with you today to speak on your behalf, sir? Or why didn't you ask the board to contact them by telephone or something, sir?
I honestly didn't know the telephone was an option, but, you know, with the kids and whatnot, I didn't come, you know, I came from Chino Valley, which is just north of Prescott. I didn't really think about it, thought it'd be more of an inconvenience than a help at this time. I've been before you back in 2010, and I was by my lonesome then. Seemed to have worked out for me, so if I get the opportunity to come before you in another 4 years, I'll definitely bring some support with me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Mr. Dan?
Just one point for, do you realize that this pardon won't take that felony off the record when people do a deed?
I do.
You know, so
I do.
They have to read the whole thing, mm-hmm. which, okay. Yeah. Most people don't understand that part.
You know, there's sections on, maybe with the state of Arizona, I think Doug Ducey has taken off that question for the felony, and then it's placed later down the road. But a lot of the applications don't. They do ask you, and then they ask you to explain. If I'm able to put set aside and a pardon on there and together, I think that will make me feel much better about still having that on my record. Maybe it's superficial, I don't know.
So, Mr. Billings, what can you give us an example of, like, how has this held you back? Do you know, like, what's an example if you think that where they might look at you and say, "Oh, yeah, I have a pardon."
Well, it's held me back being a baseball coach for my son, and it's held me back being soccer coach for my daughter.
Because of that, but the felony
absolutely.
Will still be there.
Well, the very last time I was going to be, then this was, it was in, I had my application in for the set aside, and I was approached to be soccer coach for my daughters. She's 10 now, for U-12 league, and we called California, the AYSO, not Maricopa County, but and they said, no, I would not, unless it's 20 years old or I got it set aside, I couldn't coach.
Okay,
so,
but now you have it set aside.
I have it set aside.
So you could coach.
I can do
okay.
that.
Okay.
That's a big deal. And, you know, I was approached to be assistant coach with my son's Little League. When he was little, he's 21 now. He's getting ready to go to NAU, where I just graduated. But again, I had to just dodge that.
Right.
You know, and just, well, you know, I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to come out and tell everybody about it.
Right. Understood. Okay. All right. Is there anything else you'd like us to know that you haven't told us already?
No, not off the top of my head. I'm a bit nervous, so my mind goes blank.
Understandable, but we're just regular people, you know.
It's the environment, the situation.
Okay, all right. Well, if you want to just have, you can maybe just have a seat right there. The board will go into discussion then,
sure.
And we do all our discussion in public, so open meeting law. So if you just want to have a seat, we'll discuss, and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
So the board is now in discussion. Mr. Billings is an individual who got involved in even though we said it's something like a road rage incident. And, you know, on the surface and looking at the incident, it seems like it could be a fairly innocent thing. However, you know, as Mr. Quinones pointed out, it could have been a serious thing if there had been an accident or anything like that. Mr. Billings has support letters. He has the conviction set aside, which is a good thing, has his civil rights restored. He feels that having that word pardon on applications and such in the future will hold him back. I'm, you know, as Dr. Wright always says, the pardon is a very high standard. It's a very high standard. And I'm not, I'm just not sure that the fact that it's set aside already, not having that pardon will continue to hold him back. But I would certainly be interested in any discussion from fellow board members.
I'll just follow up by saying that with great respect to Mr. Billings standing before this board today, that I think what it comes down to on a very practical level is whether or not we can justify a pardon to the governor's office. And it is, in many cases, like recommending, I dare say, a military award. In other words, this is the best analogy I can think of. There's all kinds of bravery going on in the military world, but to find the language to write up that award requires that sort of above and beyond factor. So I certainly think that Mr. Billings has been quite a success case, having been through the probation process, college, working, thank God for the set-aside. But I'm not quite sure it rises to the level of justifying a pardon to the governor's office. That's one opinion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. DeMuro. Mr. Johnson.
I want to say that I agree. I think the issue is that there's a polygraph report in there in which Mr. Billingsley had that says he didn't point the gun, but he did display the gun. And I think that's the problem, how one would interpret the display is a different story. He just held it up to show that he had it. That's kind of intimidating to anyone. So I think that he's done very well to have the charges get all his rights restored and everything that's happened. It just I think it's just an unfortunate incident that occurred at a period of time. I don't think it rises to the point of a pardon from the governor.
Any other comments?
Well, I think that our colleagues have said basically what I would say, but I would want to commend Mr. Billings. He has made a great deal of progress since, and however, I'm just as one board member, I just still cannot see that it's that exceptional in looking at the governor and the previous governor, they've been very strategic in terms of granting pardons. That's they look at them apparently they look at them as being at the top in the area, and not just that many pardons offered to citizens of our great state of Arizona. And I think that I still commend Mr. Billings for getting his degree, for getting everything set aside. And I'm just not comfortable in one signing a letter that would to the governor at this time for a pardon. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Then I'm going to make a motion that, and specifically my motion is that we not recommend to the governor a pardon for Mr. Christopher Billings. That's my motion.
Second.
Great.
So, Mr. Billings, if you want to come back up to the podium, you heard the board's discussion, and we're grateful to you to come down today. I mean, I really appreciate you coming. The pardon is a very high standard for the governor, and we just, not seeing specific ways that this is going to hold you back. I mean, it hasn't appeared to hold you back. I mean, with the set-aside, you've got access to be the coach, for as far as employment and other things. I mean, you've got set aside for future considerations. So we're just kind of not seeing that this is something that we could stand behind and go to the governor and say, we stand behind this. Nice. So thank you very much. We really appreciate you. Certainly, I mean, you're doing great. One of my degrees is in public administration, so it's a great field. I mean, it's a good, there's we need that. We need people with that. So thank you very much for coming today. We appreciate your application and all your good work. So thank you, sir. And your hearing is concluded.
Okay.
Thank you.